May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. How great the disciples must have felt that day as they entered Jerusalem, together with Jesus who was riding on a donkey. The crowds were cheering, acknowledging Jesus and spreading out their garments like a red carpet to welcome their new king. It must have felt like a revolution, an unforgettable day in history. What really led to this event was the miracle in Bethany, which is just about 5 kilometers away from Jerusalem. Jesus' friend Lazarus had died. He had been dead for 4 days, but Jesus raised him from death. It was an astonishing miracle. The people who were there for the funeral couldn't believe their eyes and got convinced that Jesus must be the one who he claims to be, after all. As he made his way to Jerusalem, a large crowd that had witnessed this miracle followed him. Some even went ahead of him to spread the news. By the time Jesus and his disciples had arrived, the crowd was already waving and singing for joy. "Hosanna!" they shouted. The ecstasy and adoration of the people made the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, and the Jewish council very upset. They demanded that Jesus would stop drawing all this attention to himself. They wanted him to tell the people to stop it. But Jesus simply answered, "If these were silent, the very stones would cry out." Finally, the disciples must have thought to themselves, "Finally, Jesus claims the respect, power, and attention which is due to him. Finally, he gets what he truly deserves." The breeze of change was in the air. If anyone had managed to interview one of the disciples that day, we might have heard a statement like this: "Well, we knew all the time that Jesus is really special. We have followed him for 3 years, long before anyone else knew him. Actually, it's about time people recognize him. What he has done over in Bethany speaks volumes, and it's just beginning. Now, folks, get ready. Some things are going to change drastically around here. It's going to be better than you can ever imagine. Jesus is an awesome leader. Oh, and by the way, we also have a special message for the Pharisees and leaders, together with all those who never believed. You can pack up, guys. Jesus and the 12 of us, we are going to take it over from here. You are going to wish that you had never opposed us." A week later, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, the Jewish religious leaders might have replied with a grin on their face, famous last words from a bunch of nobodies. Of course, this is not the way it happened. But what exactly happened? How did the mood of the crowd change so quickly? What strategic mistakes did Jesus make that he lost the continued support from the crowd? And was there any foul play involved from the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, and the Jewish council? To answer these questions, we must understand 3 things. First, Jesus' true character. Secondly, the character of humanity. And lastly, the destiny of those who purposefully rebel against God's plan. Let's start with Jesus. Who is Jesus? The first thing we note about Jesus is that his life is made up of contradicting circumstances. In the scriptures, the Messiah is a mighty warrior, but he is also a humble donkey rider. He is God, but at the same time, he is also human. He is a king, but also a servant. He had all the right to demand riches and comfort, but he remained poor by worldly standards. He conquered death, but died suffering. He loved immensely, but was hated fiercely. What a tension-filled life Jesus has lived. What stands out about Jesus, besides his obvious love for God and humankind, is his meekness and humility. Even though the crowd cheered and sang praises, he knew that this adoration for him was not going to last too long. In fact, Luke's gospel tells us that as Jesus was drawing close to the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, O Jerusalem, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, and you and your children within you. They will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." Yes, the crowds were cheering, and yes, they adored him at that moment, but all the fanfare and pomp was displayed, thinking that he would overthrow Roman power to reign over them as their king. But Jesus came to reign in their hearts first. There will surely be one day when we will see Jesus come again to reign over this world, to overthrow the powers of evil, and to end the plight caused by imperfect, selfish human leadership. But Jesus' first and foremost goal is to claim reign over the hearts and minds of people. Jesus knew the true character of humanity. Of course, we love to see ourselves as good people, but isn't it true that humanity shows itself at its worst when it is given a chance? Jesus, hanging on that cross, witnesses to us about that very fact. The justice system had terribly failed. The principle which says it is better that 100 guilty persons should escape than that one innocent person should suffer was not paid any attention to, because Pilate was more concerned with pleasing the crowd. And the moral compass of the society had also failed. The people blindly followed their leaders, not remembering what they had witnessed to be true for themselves just a couple of days before. Moreover, the people went to great lengths to humiliate and torture Jesus. They showed great enthusiasm to execute the plan of the religious leaders. A crown of thorns was handmade, and someone ran to fill a sponge with wine vinegar to mock Jesus. And even passers-by took the time to hurl insults, to shake their heads, and to challenge Jesus to save himself. How quick we are to insult, to mock, and to hurt. And how slow we are to love, have mercy, and show genuine kindness and grace. This is the state and the true character of humanity. Yes, we are made in the very image of God, and we can strive to become more and more like him. But humanity also has great capacity to do evil and be cruel. I think we cannot deny that. And this is also the very reason why we so desperately need Jesus in our life. In contrast to the spontaneous cruelty of the general crowd, the Pharisees, scribes, and teachers of the law and the Jewish council were guilty of having crafted and premeditated this evil plan, even though they actually knew that they were rebelling against God. The Gospel of John tells us about the secret conversations they had amongst themselves. "See," they said to each other, "this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Even though they were to represent God's will before the people, their desire to stay in power was much stronger than the desire to carry out their duty as religious leaders faithfully. It is ironic, though, despite their rebellious heart and intentions, they play a part in God's plan to glorify Jesus. By eagerly urging the posting of Roman guards in front of Jesus' tomb, they close all loopholes to portray Jesus' rising from the dead as human interference in an unguarded tomb. This shows us the destiny of those who willfully rebel against God. They do not succeed, and they end up even helping the cause unintentionally. So what is the significance of Palm Sunday in light of these findings? We know that Jesus lived a tension-filled life, full of paradoxes and contradictions. We know that humanity has great capacity for evil, and that those who willfully rebel against God still cannot stop his good plans. In light of these points, we are reminded that even though the original Palm Sunday was a very joyful occasion, we are to look behind it, to see the suffering on the cross, and to grasp the final victory in the tomb. As he entered Jerusalem on that donkey, Jesus knew there were just a few days left in his life. Yet he obediently set his crucifixion in motion. His obedience and willingness to yield to God's will, even in the face of great suffering and pain, is unmatched. As followers of Christ, we are called to follow in his footsteps. We might not have to die the exact same way as Christ did, but there likely will be instances in our life where obedience and submission to God's will feels almost like that. It is important to remember in such instances that we as Christians live paradox lives too. On one hand, there might be great suffering, yet on the other hand, we enjoy a rich spiritual life and friendship with God. Each one of us plays a vital part in God's plan to bring God's kingdom into the world. Our sufferings in Christ's name are not in vain, even though our suffering might seem fairly private to us. God often uses these circumstances for the glory of his name. The scriptures remind us that we share in Jesus' sufferings in order to share in his glory. That God's grace is sufficient for us because his power is made perfect in our weakness, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So as we prepare ourselves to meditate upon the passion of Christ in the coming week, let us closely watch the humility and gentleness of Christ as he is led to the cross. May the Holy Spirit examine our hearts and reveal to us where we lack humility and submission to God's will. May he help us to receive Christ singing Hosanna. May Christ, who has treaded this path before us, encourage and strengthen us to conquer the areas which hold us back, and may God give us victory, like he has given victory to Christ over death. Amen.